Alright, good morning everybody. Another Tuesday, another God story time, and we do have some stuff we wanted to share. First of all, thank you for all the support and the prayers that you're doing for us and the ministry that God's got us in. Also, I wanted to just share a snippet of the folks that are in the Bahamas. We've got friends that are in the Bahamas. One particular guy named Daryl Pender, his name has popped up several times, and he sent some voice messages to us while they were going through the storm there and giving us some updates. And they're at Marsh Harbor. And Marsh Harbor just completely got destroyed. There are some high areas that are okay, but they're still, you know, destroyed, but the people, you know, made it through there. Places in Treasure Cay, which is north of there, things got destroyed there. We've got friends there, but Susan made a GoFundMe page yesterday, and we put it on our website, on our Facebook, and have shared it. Some friends have shared it, and we just ask that you guys, you know, help us to help them. I know, you know, Bahamas is very poor. I know that they're not going to be able to, the government definitely will not be able to do it on their own. And they need our help. So if you have a heart to help, just go to the GoFundMe page on the Facebook. It's on Susan's personal page. It's on my page. It's on the Living Vine page. And just support what we're trying to do is basically send the money over to Daryl and a guy named Wilson that actually handles the marina there in Treasure Cay. Both of them are very trustworthy, and they would get the job done. Daryl has a ministry there, a church there, and I know for certain he would handle it as well as we could trust him with the finances as well. But man, I wish we had a big boat that we could get in and go over there from Fort Lauderdale, you know, and just pack the boat with stuff and get over there and try to help rebuild. But we've gotten news that some people are doing that, so that's very encouraging. But along with that, we want to get started on these God stories. Of course, it looks like, you know, the hurricane is Dorian is going to break up a little bit here, and God's been merciful all the way around. You know, I'm surprised, you know, that these few people they're reporting, you know, have died, which is terrible. But man, there should have been major deaths, you know, after this hurricane hitting the Bahamas. I mean, there is major mercy there. I don't know if you've watched the videos, but it is terrible. You'll have to excuse my sinuses are kind of stopped up this morning. But, you know, whenever there's a storm, there's always a cleansing. But after the cleansing and after the storm is over, there's always a rebuilding. There's always something new. There's always something of God that pops out of it. I mean, you look at Noah, you know, and his family. I mean, God destroyed the whole earth, flooded the whole earth. Talk about a storm, and cleansed everything. But how'd you like to be the family that restores the earth? And I think after every storm, there's restoration. And I think it's because God moves after storms. He's not only moving after storms, but a lot of times he's in the storm. And we've got to see God in most everything, see what he's doing in most everything. And man, I've really been pondering, you know, this thing on this storm that's come. It seems like even, of course, a lot of you guys know that we're supposed to be moving to Shreveport, Louisiana here pretty soon. And our house hasn't sold yet, but it seems like right before or right during our move, there's always a great storm that comes up. So And that's not necessarily something to brag on. It just seems like that's the thing that happens with us when God gets ready to move us. And sometimes God has to send storms to our lives to get us moved, don't they? Doesn't he? Yeah. It can be rough, but storms will always send you to your destination if you actually try to see the Lord through it. We are going through a big storm. We're about to go through a big storm here with the United States. We're in it. We're starting. We're seeing the repercussions of some of it. But of course, we all know that we're going to be headed to a civil war, you know, on our own land again. That storm is really stirred up. And I think we're on the precipices of something brand new that's about to occur. And during the trial and during these storms, I believe that we're going to see some major moves of the Lord. But the Lord's sending personal storms to our own life. He's allowing personal storms to come to our own life to cleanse our land as well and to get us restored. And that's something I wanted to talk about this morning because, you know, I never thought that storms could actually help us or help my own life, but it does. And a lot of you guys know my history, but God sent a major storm into my life when I basically came back to the Lord, and it seemingly I lost everything. Physically, I did lose everything. He stripped everything away that I had made and that was not the Lord. And the only thing that was left was what the Lord wanted to build. And at first, it was tough because I thought I was losing everything, but I didn't realize I was gaining it all. And one particular moment in my life, this was back in my golf days. Excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. Having allergies can be tough sometimes, especially in the morning. But there was one particular time when God was basically sending that storm to just wipe away all the stuff that I'd built. During that time, I would go to put on my clothes, you know, to get ready for the day in the morning. And the Spirit of God would say, hey, don't wear that shirt. Give that shirt away and wear this shirt. And the crazy thing about it was the shirt that I was about to wear was very fashionable. And then the shirt he asked me to wear was kind of plain. And at first I thought, man, that can't be the Lord. You know, he wouldn't tell me what to wear. And so the first time I just put, you know, the same shirt on that I wanted to wear that I thought was okay. And a few hours later, I found myself in some very disturbing problems. And the first thing I asked him was, Lord, why is this happening? He said, because you just disobeyed me of the little thing I asked you to do. I said, what was that? He said, all you had to do is just put that shirt on that I asked you to wear. And I thought, you've got to be kidding. He said, yes, you just disobeyed in disobedience. Actually causes things to be open for the enemy to come and hit you. But that, you know, in this world, especially Western world, I would think, man, there's nothing. Why don't I have grace for that? You know, but the grace is that the grace is God speaking to me, and I use that grace to actually do what he tells me to do instead of what I wanted to do. And not saying, and it doesn't mean that wearing a good shirt, you know, a decent shirt that I wanted to wear was bad. It was just not something the Lord wanted to wear that day. And I disobeyed him on things that I think are okay. And that's what we're getting down to. Some of the things that we think are okay now for our life, it's not going to be okay anymore because the Spirit of God is going to start going out and finding those that really want to follow him in every detail of their life. And even the good things, even some of the things that we've gotten away with and we think are okay, are not going to be okay anymore. And it's not because God is saying, oh, you're a bad person. It just means he's moving to another and into another journey. And we can't take what is good with us. We can't take what we think is okay with us as well. And those things that are okay have been okay up till now. And now it's time to be led by the Spirit and do what he wants us to do and do what he's about to do. You know, I spoke yesterday that, you know, Paul in Ephesians 1, that he prayed that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of God and the hope of his calling, not our calling. And that's where we're going. Those that want to drop what they think their calling is and follow the Lord. Those that want to drop those things that they think is okay to do, those things that are okay in their life, to follow the Lord. He's really going to define his people, and he's going to define his walk with those that have ears to hear. And we're just not going to be able to do the things that we want to do any longer into this next journey. Remember that. We'll no longer be able to do the things we want to do. You want to do. That is fading out. Because a true move of God is coming, and he needs people that doesn't have any hooks in them. Because the enemy's going to come. As the move of God comes, the enemy's going to come. And that hook, if you have a hook in you, that hook is going to be something good that you think is okay. It's going to be something good that you think is okay, and the Spirit asks you to do another thing, but you try to carry that thing that you think is okay into what the Spirit wants to do. It won't work. So the enemy will come in and try to hook you on those things that you, that we, and I'm putting that in my own life, because I'm cutting out a lot of things in my life that we think is okay. It's not going to be okay anymore. Because these will be hooks in us that the enemy will be able to touch when this true move of God starts to happen. And it's starting to happen now. And that true move is the Spirit of God moving in our homes and our lives individually. That's the true move of God. And our preparation is going to be, part of our preparation is going to be adversity in our life. And the Spirit of God. Both of them is going to bring adversity. Think about that. Think about the Spirit touching those things you want to do. There's going to be adversity there. You're not going to want to let it go. And you've been doing it. We've been doing it so long that we think it's okay. But it's not going to be okay any longer. And I just want to, let me throw this out, because here's some examples. I just wrote down here a note. Adversity is coming to some to help show their hearts how far they've been removed from being led by the Spirit of God. Adversity is coming to some to show their where their hearts are, or how far they've been removed from being led by the Spirit of God. And now we're going to find out really where our faith is in. What our faith is in is our faith in the things that we believe, or is our faith going to be in the things that he believes? And I think that's going to change. Just like that day when he said, he asked me, he said, hey, put on this shirt. My faith was in believing that, you know, wearing this nice golf shirt was okay. My faith was in my own belief system. That's where my faith was. My faith was not in listening to something opposite of my faith that was putting it into a doctrine of saying this is okay, you know. And so I had to change that. I had to put my faith more into the voice of God in every detail of my life. And it's the strangest thing. When he asked me to change, you know, I asked him, I said, why is all these problems occurring? And he said, it's because you didn't obey me to start with. And I went back and changed that shirt. And I gave that shirt away. I didn't want it. And when I put on that shirt in the middle of the day, it seems that everything started to fall into place. And I don't think that's a principle, and I wouldn't take that personally for just our own lives. Like, man, I got to do what God tells me to do, lest I be out of His will. Well, a lot of that's true, but for me at that point, God was teaching me that I must be led by the Spirit, not my ways. And if I'm led by the Spirit, I stay under the umbrella of that Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and it puts things in order in my life. And that's why things started getting better after I just changed the shirt. You know, I basically changed my clothing. I changed my mind back to the Spirit of God. And then I was led by the Spirit of God, which put things in order. I came under the order of God. And things, I could handle problems much easier. Things weren't as confusing. Things weren't out of sort. Doesn't mean that I didn't have issues I had to handle, but I could handle them much easier because I was under the umbrella of the obedience of the Spirit instead of being obedient to my own voice. And I wanted to throw some examples out here where Jesus is with Simon. And Jesus knows that not only is he about to go to the cross, but he knows Simon or Peter is about to be used in a major way. And so Satan has asked for Peter because Peter is about to come in to his true calling. And a principle of the kingdom, that's true, because the enemy will always want to sift those that are about to come in to their calling, or about to come into the calling of what God has called them to do. And the Lord gets Simon's attention here in Luke 22, verse 31. It says, the Lord said to Simon, 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 and it's got an exclamation mark there. So God is raising his voice to really get Simon's attention. And so we're about to see that now. Sorry, I've got a mint in my mouth. We're about to see God get our attention no matter what. Exclamation mark there means he's raising his voice to create a disturbance so that he can get Simon's attention. And there are going to be disturbances that will come to get our attention toward God. And that's happening to Simon here. God's raising his voice. He's basically offending his mind to get his attention. And he says, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. In other words, your faith in me would not fail. The things that I've called and I've taught you, the things that I've walked through with you would not fail. And then he says this, and it's strange, and it says, and when you have returned to me, that means he's going to go off. So there is a lot of people that are being sifted right now that have gone off the path, but God has prayed for them. And he already knows that they're going to come back because he's the mediator. He says what goes, and he prayed for them. And he prayed that their faith would not fail them. What they've been raised in, what God has called them into, would not fail them. And this is happening to Peter. And it says, but Jesus says this. It says, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. In other words, when you come back, just begin what I've told you to do. Don't wallow in your pain. Don't wallow in your mistakes. Don't wallow into, my God, I really fell from the Lord. I've got this issue. I've got that issue. You know, a lot of us, when we come back to the Lord, we start reveling in all of our junk. When we come back to the Lord, and the Lord is already saying, hey, get back to what I called you to do. All right? And so God just says, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And I think that's a major thing for us, that to get out of your reveling in your demonic junk that kept you, that turned you away from the Lord, or that stuff that hooked you and got you away from the Lord. I think we've got to, instead of instead of trying to figure ourselves out, we got to start strengthening our brethren with what God tells us to strengthen them with. In other words, let me say it another way, and let me read this in another way. And when you have returned to me, don't think about yourself. Think about your brothers. Do what I tell you and go strengthen them. Don't try to look at yourself and strengthen yourself and try to work on yourself. Now, I'm not saying that you won't look at yourself. I promise you, you will be so convicted that you will see yourself and you will repent and then you return to the Lord. But after you've done all that, God's waiting on us to not think about ourselves anymore. Start strengthening our brethren. In other words, start doing what I've called you to do. All right? That's us. Satan here purified Peter. A lot of the troubles that we get in, a lot of the things like Peter did, he denied him three times. Denied him three times and fell away. And then he returned to the Lord. And he did. The first thing he did was strengthen his brethren in Acts 2. He started the church. Man, you can start some of the most biggest things after the worst failures. But man, the world doesn't get us to believe that. Remember that. You can start some of the biggest things that God has called you to do, some of the biggest things that God has called you to after your greatest failure. And that's what's happened with Peter. It says, but he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. How many of you guys have done that? Man, I'm going to follow the Lord all the way, and man, this is going to be great. I've got a real true calling to walk with Jesus, and you're telling the Lord that, and you don't realize, man, that pride is going to get you in trouble, and you don't realize God is already seeing it. He's praying for you because he knows the enemy's about to sift you. That's us. That's what happened to me. When the Lord told me, hey, wear this shirt. And I was like, nah, this is okay. You know, my pride kicked in and I'm like, man, this is okay. I don't need to. And then before you know it, man, the enemy's on my tail, sifting me. And I come back to the Lord and I go, Lord, what's up with this? Why is the enemy after me? Why am I having so much trouble? He goes, because you're not listening to my voice. I returned back to him, put the shirt back on, and everything started up exactly the way he made it. It's not like I had to, you know, pay penance to get there back to my calling. I just put on the shirt, obeyed the Spirit, and here we go. Let's go. Let's keep walking. That's the way the Lord is. It says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and death. And he said to him, can you imagine Peter looking at him like he does with us? I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you do not know me. And of course, we all know that happened. And he came back to the Lord, you know, and not counting cutting off a ear in the garden. He made several mistakes. But he came back to the Lord and he became that apostle that basically stood up during the book of Acts, Acts 2, to actually give understanding to what's going on. And there was 3,000 led to the church, led to Jesus. So some of the greatest things you're about to actually express, some of the greatest things that you're going to do in God will be after some of your greatest failures. Now, some will not make it. Some will stay under condemnation. And they'll think that they have to pay the penance thing and delay their calling with God. Some will get right up and start doing that great work of God. And those that are under condemnation that we see, we've got to strengthen them. The reason he's saying strengthen your brethren, because, man, when Peter came back, his brethren had been beat up by fear. I can't imagine after the cross. And here comes Peter, strengthening them. So, let me give you another thing. John 14:30-31. if you'll look, what he said to Peter, you know, Satan desired to sift, you know, Peter. The reason, one of the reasons why Jesus knew this is because Jesus went through it for 3 years. Satan was sifting him like wheat for 3 years. And at the, by the time he came to the cross, everything had been sifted. You do realize that Jesus was human and God was living in him. He was God and man. And so he was tempted on all points. He had that same flesh side so that he could understand what we go through. We now have a high priest who can sympathize with us because he was tempted on all points. That means his flesh was tempted to do what we always like to do. And the enemy was constantly sifting him throughout his whole life. But by the end of his life, he says in John 14 through 30, 14, chapter 14, 30 through 31, it says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Now, one of the things that was in me that day with the shirt was my own opinion and my good things. I thought, it's okay. God has grace. You know, that can't be the Lord. It's okay to wear a good shirt. Well, not if you're going to follow the Lord. The things that are okay is to follow God, is to follow his voice. Those are the things that are okay. That's when it really narrows down. Now, the Christian age now is that, yeah, we can follow the Lord, but the Lord has grace on all the stuff that we want to do. Honestly, he's given us grace to think that way because that's so evil. But now he's narrowing down to who's going to follow me. And here's Jesus. He'd been sifted all of his life. And he says, "In the world, the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do." In other words, that second part, but that the world may know that I love the Father. In other words, so that the world may know that I love following the Spirit more than the world. This is going to happen. He followed the Spirit. The Spirit led him to the cross. The Spirit led him to places that he didn't want to go. You can see it in the garden. When he sees it, the Holy Spirit's showing him where he's going and what's about to happen. He says, "Father, please, if it's your will, please let this cup pass from me." And he's begging the Lord. But he says, not my will, your will. In other words, the Spirit is saying, hey, this is where we're going. He's going, oh my God, in my life good enough? Is there any way that I could just live a good life and just love these people? Or am I supposed to follow you all the way? I think we're supposed to follow him all the way. And I put down through here a couple of notes with this scripture. It says through Jesus' sifting of Satan during his life. Sifting of Satan there is this world. Satan is not just a person. It's an arrangement of thinking that has been placed in this world that makes us think that the good things that we can do, the things that we can do that we think are okay, that kind of thinking is very evil. I say this a lot of times. Good is probably the worst evil that we can ever do. Because good is not always the Spirit. When we are led by the Spirit, we enter into God's goodness. But our goodness is not even close to God's goodness. And the way we please God is to follow God. It's our faith that pleases God. But you got to understand, in order to have faith, we've got to hear the voice of God and follow it and obey it. And that's where we're going. But I said, here in this title, it says, through Jesus' sifting of Satan during his life, it purified him to be ready for the intense scourging and ridicule that was coming to him. But he knew they would not be able to find anything in him. By that, how'd you like to get to that point? That the world can't find anything that you want to actually do on your own. Your whole life is wrapped up in the Spirit. Because he allowed himself to be governed by love. He loved the Father unto death. Man, can you imagine us being fathered by love? Can you imagine loving the Spirit more than your own goodness? Can you imagine loving the Spirit more than the things you want to do? And that's where we're going. And here's our step that we're kind of a parallel of what happened even with the children of Israel. Turn over to Joshua 5. Before they crossed over, you know, they had to cut away things they assumed to be okay. You know, they had to be circumcised. And with flint knives. I mean, can you imagine being, you know, the called generation, and then before you cross over, there's a cutting away of even good things. The old generation has died out, but now the new generation is now having to come forth. In other words, we have gotten parallels to us is that, yes, we've received Christ and the old man has died, but now we've got to be circumcised by the Spirit of God. Jesus being the life that's been given to us, that was the first cutting away, which is the old man. But now there's this new cutting away. We've got to follow him all the way. There are some good things that we've still got to cut away. Hey, I'm a Christian. I have the grace of God. Yep, you sure do. That's why the sword of the Spirit has been placed in our lives to cut away even the good things that we think is okay. The intimate things. Man, if there's anything they're cutting here is something very intimate to them that they think is okay. How'd you like for a man to come up to you and say, hey, here's a flint stone. You need to circumcise yourself. Man, I'm sure it wasn't just all glory. I'm sure some of them were grumbling and complaining. Why do we have to do this? You know, God's called us in the promised land. I don't have to cut away anything of my flesh. That's the very thing you need to cut away, is our own opinions of how things should go. And let's read that. It says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. The second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way. After they had come out of Egypt, for all the people who came out had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, and a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons whom he raised up in their place. And they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. Man, I'm going to tell you, if there's anything that needs to happen as Christians that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that have been baptized in the Lord Jesus, need this circumcision. But the enemy of false doctrine says, oh, you know, we don't need that. But I'm telling you, there is a circumcision coming of the flesh for us Christians. For it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now, one of the temptations that happens here is a lot of people think, man, God's called me into this and I really don't need to be staying in this one place. It's really not the Lord for me to stay here. And because, man, I think that the grace is over there. And we don't understand that the place that God has put you in, and you feel like you're going through intensity, you know, and you feel like there's this good thing on the other side, and you think it's going to be great, and you want to skip the intensity to get to the good stuff. But once you get across to the, if you skip that and you get across to the good stuff without being allowing God to keep you in your place and allow that intensity to circumcise you, you're going to have major trouble when you get to your good stuff. And a lot of people will jump ship of their circumcision and say, well, we've got grace here, you know, or a lot of us say, you know, well, we're not welcome here. Or, you know, there's all kinds of stuff in our flesh that doesn't want the flint knife of the sword of the Spirit to get in our lives and to cut things away. We would rather just cross over and God has grace for us. I've got to go after this. I've got to go after that. If you'll notice, we go after good things that create good feelings and good adrenaline, but we never go after the Spirit. And man, we've got to see the fine line in that. Because there are so many right now that are being led into good things and they're not God things. Some of us have been, so many people I've talked to that have skipped the intensity of the flint knife with the sword of the Spirit to get into the good things of God. But if you're led into the things that are the good things with out of your own opinion, you're going to have trouble. Even if you're doing it for somebody else, you're going to have trouble. We've got to be leaders that follow the Spirit, no matter what anybody says. It's got the mind of the Spirit's got to be more important than what people say or what we're being pressured to do. And that's what happened. They had to stay in their tents till they're here. I would have stayed in my tent. I'm telling you, can you imagine the groaning that was going on in the camp during that time? But man, if there was all the groanings were really, you could hear, man, they're getting prepared to cross over. So if you've been in your groanings, and if you've been groaning, you've been going and trusting God where you are, and you're groaning, man, it's a sweet aroma to the Lord. It's a wonderful sound to the Lord, because he's getting excited, because he knows if you're groaning and staying in your place while the Spirit of God is circumcising you, he knows you're about to enter into your major promise that he's called you into. So here's an example of us Christians, you know, the Christian world being circumcised that second time. And here it is. Look at Luke 18. Same thing that day with my shirt, you know. He was circumcising me. I had to give away golf clubs. Had my names on them and all kinds of stuff, you know. I'd walk in the house. Once I started understanding the voice of God, the voice of God was totally different than me wanting good things. I can guarantee you that. Every time I'd want to lean on something that I wanted to do, the Spirit of God would do the opposite. And I'd walk into the house, and I'm never forgetting, the Spirit said, hey, let's give your golf clubs away. And I'm like, hey, let's not, you know. But I've gotten to the point to where if I did what he told me to do, there was a promised land on the other side. Besides, golf clubs aren't going with me. You know, my spirit or my flesh was hooked on them, and there need to be a circumcision. Those things your flesh are hooked on that are good things, man, they can be a stumbling block in where you're going. Let's read this in Luke 18. And I titled this, "The things we have had that have been okay will not be okay in this next journey with the Lord." Let me say that again. The things we have had that have been okay will not be okay in this next journey with the Lord. So whatever has been okay with us, it's not going to be okay in this next journey. And we're all going to get tested on this. You know, I was talking to a leader the other day, and I was telling him some of this stuff, and he goes, well, I do a casual, occasional this. And I go, well, if you're fighting me on that, then you know that's the area the Lord's touching. And he goes, man, you're right. Just doing occasional this it's not okay anymore, is it? I said, no, it's not. He said, man, that's going to be tough. That's going to be very hard. I said, well, that's part of it. Just like the ones, you know, how'd you like to do physical circumcision? It was painful, but yet it crossed them to the other side. It got them to the place in preparation. They entered into the promise. It's these little things that we think are okay, these good things that we think are okay, it's going to be painful to allow the Spirit to touch and cut off as we're being led by it, but it's going to lead us into God's promises instead of our own goodness, the things we think should happen. And watch this. This is the rich young ruler. It says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And this Christian said, hey, man, I've been doing all these things since my youth. That's us. Man, I've been doing this stuff, man. We haven't, but we feel like we have because we feel like we've got the grace of God on our life. And we do. We all have grace. And we could answer this same thing. Man, I'm a Christian. Man, I've been following the Lord. I've been trying to honor my father and my mother. I've been trying to be led in these areas, not to steal and to do these things. And Lord, I've been doing this stuff. And then the Lord lays it out to him. He says, so when Jesus heard these things, oh, wow, you're a good Christian. He said to him, then you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. In other words, sell everything you have for the voice of the Lord. That was the voice of God speaking to him. All right, you have done some wonderful things. You've been a good Christian. Now it's time to drop all those things that are good and, hey, follow me. That's intense, guys. And, man, I feel anointing now just talking about it. It's intense. You lack one thing. Sell all of it that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. In other words, if you will obey me, your treasure is going to be heaven. And you'll get to follow me. He says, and come and follow me. Could it be that God has had grace on everything that we've been doing as a Christian, but we really haven't been following? Think about that. Could it be that God is seeing where we are headed and we're coming to this precipice of, man, facing the Lord and saying, hey, and the Lord saying, man, Brad, you've been doing really good. That's awesome. But now, my grace has been sufficient for you, but now, Brad, you got to follow me now. Lay it all down. Lay all those good things, lay all the stuff that you've built, even in the spirit. Lay it all down. Lay all the things that you've been getting away with. Lay all the things that I've allowed you to get away with. Let all the good things go. Man, now you can understand what this guy does. It says, he kept it from his youth, and he says, drop it all and follow me. But when he heard this is the Christian, he became very sorrowful, for he was rich. And there's a lot of us like this. And when Jesus saw that he became sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Let me read that again. And when Jesus saw that he became sorrowful, in other words, he saw his countenance. He saw that he wasn't going to let it go. Jesus says, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God there is not just heaven, like where we're going. The kingdom of God is the Spirit. How hard it is for those that would rather have the good things to enter into the Spirit. Because the Spirit is the kingdom. And if you follow the kingdom, you will enter into the kingdom of God. And it says, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, the eye of the needle is, God is saying, things are about to get narrow. Now, we all know that the eye of the needle was a place in the wall that you come through that was very tight. You had to, you know, drop everything to get in there. But the eye of the needle here is Jesus. You've got to do what he says narrow down. He is the one. The narrow thing is, I've got to follow Jesus. What can I do what I want to do and still follow Jesus? I can be a good Christian, you know, and I can have my own thing. And the Lord is saying, no, let me narrow it down. You've got to follow me totally. And that's what he's saying. And those who heard it, who then can be saved? That's what I would say. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. In other words, the way you're thinking is that old flesh trying to pull you away by saying, that's impossible. I can't just follow Jesus. I can't just be led by the Spirit. That's impossible. I think I can have the good things, you know, that I want and still follow the Lord. But just to follow the Lord, that's impossible. No man can ever do that. Jesus can do it, but no man can do that. But he's saying, hey, wait a minute. No, you're saying it's impossible. But if you follow me, it's all possible. And then Peter said, see, we have left. I love this. Peter pops up. Of all things, Peter pops up and says, we have left all and followed you. And so he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of following the Spirit, for the sake of the Spirit, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come. In other words, isn't that strange? If you drop your good stuff that you want to have and start following the kingdom, start following the Spirit, you'll have many times more than what you have had with your good things while you're here on the earth. And then for the age to come in eternal life. That's the same thing that happened with my shirt. All I do is narrow myself down and follow what the Spirit told me to do. It wasn't about changing clothes. It was about obeying the Spirit, which will change your clothes. You'll go from the glitter stuff, like I did, you know, I wanted a really wealthy looking golf shirt to a plain Jane, old t-shirt. I had to give the good stuff away, and I took the plain Jane. But once I took the plain Jane, my whole life started exploding, and I started getting more than I asked for on the earth, and everything came in order. All right, turn over to, got 10 minutes, Romans 7. I want to throw this out. Let me give you this note. We must understand, because we're going to manifest when the Spirit starts saying all this stuff, because a lot of our stuff, you know, where we're going, what we have been doing is going to be sin, okay? And we've got to know that there are some of us that have actually, they're dealing with certain sins that's been, you know, really hard for, we've been battling, and it's been really hard for us to let go of. Some of the greatest things that we think are okay are some of our greatest sins, you know? And Paul used to struggle in this, but he's telling us something that can actually help us, okay? And I'm going to read this. we must understand that it is sin that works in us so that we do not fall under condemnation. Let me read that again. We must understand that it is sin that works in us so that we do not fall under condemnation. Now let me read this and turn over there to me, over there to Romans 7. If we can understand that it is sin working in us, then we can't fall under condemnation, because then you separate it. The enemy likes to actually just condemn you and say, man, you're just a sorry no good. No, if you're a believer and you're trying to follow the Lord like Paul, you're going to have trouble, which is trouble is your own sin. All right? That works in you. That's always against God. Let's watch Paul. This is out of the New Living Translation. And I love Paul because he's probably the most godliest man that we know, and he's writing to us opening up. Verse 14, Romans 7. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and it's good. He said, what God has written, what God has said, what God has put in place, all that's good. What's really, here's the trouble, here, and he's going to show us. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. I want to do what is right and don't do it. Have y'all ever done that? I want to follow the Spirit, but I find myself saying, man, I'm going to do it, and then you don't do it. And then you fall into this condemnation. Now, I'm not giving way to saying that sin is okay. I'm actually saying, showing you that sin is not okay in us. But don't personalize it as much as you have. I'm not saying sin is okay in you, but I'm trying to show you how sin works in you. But then the accuser of the brethren tries to put you intact with it so that you can stay under condemnation. Now watch this. He says, instead, I do what I hate. He's trying to open up to us to the fight that's going on inside of him. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Now he's not giving an excuse, because watch this. He's getting a revelation. And he says, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Now watch this. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Y'all ever felt that way? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, he's saying. Now he's understanding what's now working in him. He's now coming out of that law of condemnation, and God is starting to show him what's really working in him, and it's actually freeing him from his own condemnation, because he's been beating himself up. But now God's showing him, hey, it's sin that's working in you. Here's how you can get it. Here's how you can get out. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what he said. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You could actually say this as well. The answer is in the Spirit. When you're led by the Spirit, Jesus Christ. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Now watch what he says. He shifts over. Now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. Or you could say, or to Jesus, some say belong to Jesus Christ, or there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And I like to say there's no longer condemnation if you're in the Spirit. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So what he's saying is, listen, stop condemning yourself. This is sin working in you, but I want you to know how to actually overcome it and how to flush it out. And he's saying, be led by the Spirit. In Hebrews 4:12, and this is the only one that can cut away. There's only one sword that can actually cut away this sinful flesh of ours that works in us. And that's the sword of the Spirit of God, the Word of God. And that's in Hebrews 4. For the Word of God, verse 12 through 13, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit. You could say there the division of flesh, in other words, that sinful nature, the division of sinful nature and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from its sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account to. Now, I'm going to go very, very quickly. Here's what's going to happen if we start turning toward the voice. And that voice is the Spirit. That voice is the plow. And I'm going very quickly because we're about done here. That voice is the plow you got to put your hand to. Those that put their hand to the plow and look back are not fit for the Spirit of God. He says not fit for the kingdom. In other words, you can't enter into the Spirit of God and that freedom if you've got your hands to the Spirit and you keep looking back at your past. In other words, you keep looking, you keep allowing your flesh to rule you. You keep allowing the sin to rule you. Keep your hands to the plow. Keep everything of who you are to the Spirit. Grab a hold of it and don't let go. Put your mind on it and don't let go. Isaiah 30, here's the wonderful promise of those that start following the real voice of the Spirit. Isaiah 30, I'm going to start verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. Man, wouldn't that be good? He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall behold your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver. In other words, man, you're going to defile the good things. You're not even going to want it. It says, and the ornament of your molded images of gold. In other words, everything that you've built. See, the things that we built are basically idols. All right? That's what he was doing to me as well. The things I think is good things and it's okay, they're idols now because now I'm going to follow the Spirit. He said, you will throw them away as an unclean thing. In other words, and that's why he's saying, you'll throw those, you're going to wake up by following the Spirit. You're going to see that your images of silver and your ornaments of molded images of gold, you're going to realize they are unclean. All the good things you're going to realize are unclean. That's what he's saying. You will throw them away as an unclean thing, and you will say to them, get away. Then watch this. Then he will give the rain of your seed with which you sow the ground and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful in the day your cattle will feed in large pastures. In other words, everything will start blossoming. That's the same as, you know, you will be blessed in this earth 1,000 times and you'll be blessed in eternal life. And so we have got to be led by the Spirit. We've got to forget those things that lay behind. And we've got to look forward. And the only way we can look forward is to put our minds on the Spirit. And I'm telling you, the Spirit is going to say to a lot of us, hey, I want to do this. Hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to go this route. Hey, you can't do that no more. And our minds will find out how addicted we are to good things, and they'll say, well, no, that's okay. I've got grace. As soon as your mind starts saying that stuff, do what the Spirit's telling you to do. Because where we're going, good things will not be good anymore. It's got to be all Spirit. And it's going to be great, because there's going to be such a major blessings and outpouring that's going to happen. Those that are led by the Spirit, not led by good things, led by the Spirit, not led by our things that we've built, by the Spirit. Could some of the things that we've been getting away with, or some of the good things that we've been doing, it's no more. Could those things be keeping us from the true blessings of the Lord? I believe so, because where we're going is going to be where the Lord is. And wherever the Lord is, there's this liberty. In other words, there's blessings. So where the Spirit is, where you've been with God, He is now moving on. That which is now is not going to be anymore. And where He's going, that's where the blessings are going to be. So the good things where you were with the Lord are no longer going to be good anymore. They're going to be over here where God's going. But that's great. We're moving. Just like the children of Israel. He's been doing it all of his life. God's been doing it all of his life. They would set up camp, rain down. There would be bread from heaven. Even sometimes quail. The Spirit of God would be dwelling over the house of Moses' tabernacle. Pillar of fire, smoke, you know, during the day, and a pillar of fire at night. But man, when he got ready to move, all of what was good during that time is now has ended. And now you've got to pack up and get going and leave that time. Man. And some people, when they crossed over, stayed. And some people will. They would rather stay in the old things. They'd rather stay in the things that they think is okay. And we can't judge anybody for that. And he doesn't either. Because what you choose to stay in, God will let you have. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I hope this helps, because we are really going to come into a place of holiness with the Lord. And holiness is not trying to be a good person. Holiness is being led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, the Spirit is what makes you a great person. It's the good things that we lean on instead of the Spirit doesn't make us too good at all. And I'm telling you, we're about to really, like that rich young ruler, we've been rich with a lot of good things, but now it's time to drop them and follow the Lord. And we will be blessed more than we were before, inwardly and outwardly. So, change your shirt. The move of God's coming, just like with Jesus, and we're being purged, just like with Jesus, just like with Peter. There was a huge move of God coming for Jesus, total resurrection of his whole body. Man, and Peter, a total resurrection of Peter, of his whole body, because his shadow, his whole body cast, his body casted a shadow on the earth, and people would, you know, throw sick people in his shadow, people would get healed. So Jesus and Peter, that during that time, got totally sifted. And Peter did it one way, he manifested, and God gave him grace, and Jesus fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. And on the other side, he got more than the good things he was walking in. Even Jesus had a great ministry, had a great life. But even that got cut away so that there could be greater things. Resurrection, not only in, he could be in heaven, he could be on earth anytime he wanted to. And he got earthly inheritances, and he's got heavenly inheritances. Man, he got more than what he asked for, didn't he? He got more than what he asked for, more abundantly, more exceedingly, above all that he asked. And that's where we're going. So hang on, guys. Ask the Spirit of God, hey, where are you going? Hey, are there any bones that you want to come into my closet and get out? Are there any things that I've kept on the shelf that I think's okay? Just anything. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come. It will. He will lead you into all truth, but He will lead you to blessings. So when the Spirit of God starts touching this thing and your mind starts arguing, just know you're just like the children of Israel. There's going to be some pain in letting go, but on the other side, there's major promises. All right. Love you guys. Grace to you. And don't forget those guys in the Bahamas, okay? We want to support them and help them and spread the news. Get on the Facebook, and if you don't mind, and share that GoFundMe page. So, and I just pray that you guys will hear the Spirit of God in every place of your life, because He's trying to lead us into a greater place, as it was with Jesus. He was led into a greater place, even though He was sifted by the Spirit. All right. Love you guys. Have a great day.